of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. In today's episode, I'm welcoming on Allie Williams to chat all about managing financial inequality in our marriage. What to do when one partner makes more, has more debt, or has saved more. Allie married into $154,000 of debt while she was debt-free. She had an emergency fund / sinking funds and had a higher income. She shares all her tips for how to deal with financial inequality in a marriage. Allie is the founder and CEO of Financially Focused, a financial literacy company, helping people create a flexible financial plan they can actually stick to. No deprivation here. She paid off over six figures of debt while still saving, investing, and buying season football tickets. Allie's work has been featured on Business Insider, NerdWallet, and more. She has her MBA in finance and lives in South Carolina with her husband and two sons. She spends her time at football games, go Gamecocks, and with a Starbucks latte in her hand. Be sure to go find Allie over on her website, financiallyfocused.com. You can also find her on Instagram at financiallyfocused. And I will be linking her free foundations course as well as her free Getting on the Same Page workbook in the description of this podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's episode, and if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Hi, Allie. Welcome to the You the Mother podcast. I am so excited to be welcoming you back on. You joined us previously when we used to be Mimosas with Moms, and I so enjoyed our conversation then. So I'm excited to have another money conversation with you. And we're going to be talking all about women who are out earning men and lots of different things that kind of go on in our money relationship, who has more debt, who has saved more, and just getting on the same page with our finances with our partner. So Allie, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back. I feel like there are so many money topics that we could like cover. I feel like we have like a million episodes when it relates to like money and kids and marriage and life. Mm-hmm. But I am so excited to talk today more about like money in a marriage or a partnership or just, you know, combining finances or not. So a little bit about me. I'm Allie Williams. I have two little boys, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. Live in South Carolina, and my company is financially focused. So my main goal is to help people create a realistic financial plan they can actually stick to. The stick to part, I feel like, is where people normally struggle. So I'm here to kind of make money more conversational, have those tough money conversations, and just show people that it is possible, you know, to pay off debt, save, and still live your life.
Yeah, I love all your content because I just think it's doable.
Right? Yeah.
Like that you're actually talking to real people.
Right.
You know, so definitely make sure that you go connect with Allie because her content is so, so good. Allie, let's kind of dive in. What are you seeing when you're working with people when one individual is making more than the other? And I know that we have a lot of shift in our modern society right now where we have women out earning men sometimes, and sometimes we still have men out earning women. But when we have these relationships where one person is making more than the other, is it causing a strain on relationships, or how can we kind of navigate some of those things?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to add a personal reference. So when I met my husband, I was like pretty much debt free at that point, almost debt free. I became debt free at 25. Mm-hmm. And then I married into $154,000 of debt. So I went from debt free to going into six figures of debt that, you know, technically, quote unquote, wasn't mine. I mean, we obviously then created a plan to pay it off together, but My name was not on the debt. So I think a lot of people who I work with are either like me in the situation or my husband in the situation. Yeah. You have, you know, especially if you're the one that has debt, they have a lot of guilt around that. Like, I'm the bringing in this kind of like quote unquote burden into our marriage. And, you know, if you're me, it is tough at times because you're like, I did nothing to, you know, do this, but I have to help pay it off. So I think the main issue is just lack of communication. I see is people aren't having these conversations, or they're waiting until it like somehow unravels, like, you know, year five of their marriage. So obviously if you're not married, ideally you have this conversation, you know, before you're married, but if you are married, it's not too late. You can still have this conversation. And if you haven't had open money conversations, literally do that this week. Like, listen to this episode and like set aside time. Like, that's your action item. Go start talking about money, because I know it's nerve-wracking and a lot of people like have a lot of emotions obviously around talking about money, but you will feel so much better just like getting it out there and like just being honest about it. Because I always say, like, one thing I always say is you'll literally deal with money for the rest of your life. There is, whether you're spending money for the rest of your life literally, or maybe you feel like right now you're paying off debt for the rest of your life, or whatever it is, you will always deal with money. So this isn't going anywhere. This isn't something that like, oh, in a year we will never have to discuss this. You'll always have to bring this up. So the earlier you can have these conversations, and just the more open you could be, even if I know it's nerve-wracking, like, it will be better. So that's what I always tell, you know, any couple I work with is like, you need to be having these tough conversations. So, you know, how much debt do you have? What type of debt? You know, what do each of you envision for a debt payoff plan? Like, what, maybe one of you is like trying to pay it off, you know, as quickly as possible and cut everything. The other one's like, hold up. No. And I think you have to then work on that compromise. And that's what we had to do, because I was like all in, like, let's get this gone. And he was like, like, I don't know, like, I'm okay with, you know. So we kind of had to get to that point where we were, yes, it took us a little longer, but like, we were and still spending on things, but we were both okay with it. And like, to me, keeping a few things in our budget was not worth fighting over, you know, cutting like $30, you know, or whatever, of like dumb stuff. So I think just getting clear, you know, and communicating is like first step, is just getting it out there.
Yeah. How can we make it feel, I guess, more equal, right? Especially like when, like, your situation where you're coming in and one person has debt and the other person doesn't. I could see how that wouldn't feel fair, right? Marcus and I, when we got married, we both had debt. We both had significant student loan debt. And so we had six figures worth of student loan debt combined when we joined and got married. And then he was definitely way out earning me. I'm a social worker. I was in nonprofit, community-based mental health when we got married. So I was making no money. And then when we got pregnant, when I got pregnant with Josie, I had a really hard time after I gave birth to Beatrice, just with mental health and the two under two. It was a lot. And so when I got pregnant with Josie, we made the decision that I was going to quit my job at this nonprofit community-based mental health. The goal wasn't that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, but that I was going to take an extended leave, that I was going to who knows how long. There wasn't really an expiration date on this leave, but like, you are going to go back to work, right? And I'm like, yeah, totally. I don't know when that's going to be. It ended up being 9 months, which I'm really, really thankful that we were able to swing that. But, you know, there was definitely a lot of conversations around, you know, now he is the one, and this is pre-COVID, so before, you know, the pauses on student loans and any of those kind of things. And so I could see maybe how that doesn't seem equal for people who are going through those kind of things too, where maybe, you know, a baby comes and one person stays home, and the other person is now assuming, you know, the full responsibility of paying off the debt. How do we make it seem like, okay, this is a partnered thing and not I'm carrying this whole load by myself, you're carrying this whole load by yourself, and like we're working against each other. Because I think that that does happen, right?
Oh, where totally. Have, like, I mean, those feelings. Yeah, and I think, and one thing is like those feelings are valid because I felt those too. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to kind of make the decision, like if you're the me in the situation of like not having the debt, you have to make the decision like, is this something I'm okay with? And obviously, ideally, you're doing this before marriage. Because if you're not, I mean, that's your own decision. Like, if you're like, I don't want, like, that's not something I can handle. Like, that's obviously your own decision. Yeah. For me, it was the decision is like, in my eyes, which I agree, I don't think debt defines a person. A lot of these, like his too, were student loans. Like, yes, he signed them, but what 17, 18 year olds knows what the heck they're signing and doing?
It's like the biggest scam. That's like a whole other episode for me.
Right, literally. Yeah, like, totally.
I could get on that soapbox for a really long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't blame him by any means of his student loans. Like, I don't think they defined him. I don't think I'm like, you're a terrible human, you know, for taking these out at the time. That's what he felt like he had to do. He transferred schools. He didn't really know what he wanted to do with his life. He had the extended college experience. And, you know, I don't think he knew. He was just like, you just take out loans. Like, I don't even think he thought through the process of like, you have to take all, you know, you have to like pay all of these back. So I think making the decision, like you love your partner more than their debt type of thing, which takes work. I'm not saying that's going to happen like in 1 minute. But you have to decide like, we're going to do this together, just like you would do anything in life together. Cause it's not fair to pay it off at all. Like I totally understand that sentiment, but at the end of the day, right, like things do even out, but you know, you're hoping that by your partner is like somewhat motivated maybe and will like maybe their salary will increase or maybe they do other things. So I think the resentment part you have to kind of like work through by yourself or in therapy, I don't know, and just kind of like let it go and decide, like you have to just decide like, we're going to do this and just like go all in and not look back of like, well, this isn't mine. Cause if you do what I decided to, like mathematically, we would pay it off way faster if we did this together than if I just was like, it's your debt. Good luck. Because he would pretty much be paying it forever based on his salary and other things. So like, to me, I'm like, we can pay this off and then have money and do stuff together, travel. You know, we didn't have kids obviously at that point, but now we have kids and stuff versus like, if I was like your debt, good luck. I feel like that would have just been harder even on me in the end than if I was just like, let's just like go for it. And I think just being clear with your expectations, like kind of back to the communication thing up front, is having those discussions like, this is how I'm feeling today, or you know, I know we have this debt payoff plan, but it's still frustrating for me because like technically I didn't do it. And just being open with each other and talking about that's important. And you know, we combined finances even when we were paying off all of that, because I obviously, if you couldn't tell, pay all our bills and like manage our finances. So it was easier for me to have it combined for then trying to be like, okay, this comes from this account, this comes from this account, I pay this bill. So for me, I was like, let's put it together, you know, move on with our day. Yeah. And then what we did is have, we have like separate allowances pretty much. Yeah. Like we each get spending money pretty much. Yeah. And that's our like separate money, which is great. I think all couples, if you have combined, need separate spending money. It saves your marriage in general to have like some individual spending money.
We don't do that.
Oh my God.
It's like, we have like the bills account. I guess maybe I have my own.
Yeah. No, truly, every couple I work with, that's his own. I always say, if you have fully combined finances, which if you don't, you do you. Like, I'm not judging anyone. But if it's combined, you need separate spending accounts. For us, it's our no questions asked money. It's literally an allowance like you would give a child. It's a budgeted amount. It's like a budget line. Transfer money out. And I always tell Joe, I'm like, as long as neither of us go to jail, I don't care what you spend it on. Like, I don't ask. We don't talk about it. It's like our no questions asked. You can let it.
Or cocaine, but other than that.
Yeah. I'm like, please don't do anything that's going to put anyone in our family at risk of prison. But besides that, like, I do not care. We literally, like, and it just gives you your quote unquote independence, freedom. I mean, obviously bigger ticket things, like, you know, like, Joe's a Duke fan. And so like Duke won football. So he wants to go to the Notre Dame game. And so he was like, can we buy Notre Dame ticket, you know, tickets? So I was like, yep, done. Like, but cause like that sports are real, our money goes to sports. And cause I'm a South Carolina fan. So we have season tickets. And so like sports, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm always down for that. Yeah. But like bigger ticket things, we don't use like our individual money. We just like budget, you know, or plan it together. But mine mostly goes to like Amazon. Amazon purchases or like, you know, Target or random things. But then you feel like you don't have to check in for like $20. Like, do I have $20 to spend on this? Yeah. So it gives you, I feel like you just are way more likely to actually stick to your budget when you each have like a little bit of freedom to an extent.
We're not really big spenders. That's good. This, like neither one of us are shoppers.
Yeah.
You know, helpful. And like even online, I'll get suckered at Target if I bring my kids with me.
Yeah. That's like grocery shopping with kids. I never, never
and then
ends
I,
well.
Then I do get suckered for things. But like other than that, I feel like we're pretty good. But we do like a weekly check-in and we have like a monthly like budget, right? And then we have like this is the wiggle room. This is how much is left over that you're allowed to spend after your bills and what we're putting in savings and like all the things, right? And then you have this amount over. And so when we do our weekly check-in where we go over our like itinerary for the upcoming week and we talk about, you know, who's driving what kids where, what are we meal planning, our grocery list, and we like kind of check in on all the logistics of our home together, and that's kind of helped with the mental load. We also check in on the budget and like, all right, where are we at on that number? And there are some months where we go over it, right?
Yeah.
And like, and then you kind of have to, okay, so what are we doing next month? Adjust. Like, what are we cutting? What are we, you know, doing to make that up? Or is this just something that we're like going to deal with later? I don't know, right? Are we pulling something out of savings? Are we putting this on a credit card? What are you doing? And so those are like conversations that you have to kind of have. But I think that that's been helpful in this season. I definitely think that, you know, like when I was talking about previously when I left my job, and so he was doing like 100% finance stuff all on his own, right? We weren't checking in on a budget. I really wasn't like leaving the house because I had all these small children and so unless I had a pass to something, like I wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
And so I was stuck with babies all the time. He was in charge of that. And there was a lot of back and forth of like whose load is heavier. And we were having a lot of those kind of fights in that season. And I think that like what you were talking about is like kind of coming back and like where like resentment builds and you have to come and check in about it, maybe do your own therapy about it, like figure it out, right? Was what we did in that season where we were, there was resentment building as we kind of came back and it was like, just speaking it out loud that like, hey, I'm carrying this whole load on myself and it's a heavy one. And the other person just acknowledging it. Like sometimes there's not something that you can do about it. Right. Like when I left my job and I'm home with two under two and however old Oliver was at the time, third grade, second grade, doing them. And I chose to exclusively breastfeed Josie. And so like all the night shifts, right? So like I'm doing all the night shifts, I'm doing all the feedings, right? And like that is a heavy full-time job.
100%.
If you are exclusively breastfeeding a baby and doing all the night shifts, that is a full-time job. It is a lot. And there's nothing anybody else can do for you.
Yeah, I did it with both.
Anything else you can do, but that doesn't mean that those feelings of resentment don't come up and you're looking at your husband in the middle of the night with this useless man nipples. Yeah. Like, what the heck? Why do you get these useless nipples? And I'm curious where this isn't fair, right? And so, like, there's nothing anything that somebody can do, but just speaking it out loud for me in that season of, like, I'm doing all of this. I am so sleep deprived. I'm, you know, maintaining my diet to keep up milk supply. And, you know, she had reflux, so I cut out certain things to help. And, like, so you're, like, doing all these things and him just being like, yeah, I'm sure that that's a lot. And, like, you know, I see you. I appreciate you, whatever. And him being in the same thing of, you know, I'm managing our whole financial everything. I'm a single income, you know, paying all the bills, looking at the numbers. I wasn't even like looking at the numbers, right? And this is scary and hard and a lot for me to juggle and me just being like, yeah, I see you. I'm sure that is. I can't even imagine. Honestly, I would have a heart attack if I ever had to carry that. I cannot be that person. So I am very thankful, right? And just like acknowledging. And I think that that's like where, you know, we can kind of find some of that equality in our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like that it's never going to be 50-50 in every bucket.
And or every season too. Like every season, there are seasons where, right. yeah, like you are doing, you know, one person's doing right. significantly more. And right. that's just the season. It doesn't mean right. that's going to be for the next 60 years. Right. You know, hopefully right. that's not, right? Like, right. And even with like kids' ages change, I was like right. you, I, both my boys
right.
literally have never had a bottle ever in their entire right. life. And I breastfed both, like, well, one I'm still kind of doing, but he's 14 months, and the other one's, you know, but like till over a little over a year, and it was literally just me. Yes, it was a choice, you know. Yep. I decided that. Yep. I know same. That if I asked for help and went the bottle route, yep. my husband same. Would have been like, sounds good, but same. It was a choice I made, and I totally like own that. Yep. But yeah, that was a season where it was like me, it was me, and like, but now they're older, so like he can take them places and I can get yeah. a break, you know. So yeah. it changes. And same thing with finances. I think the biggest thing that I think is hard for a lot of people who like, you know, you have to remember you're two individuals that are coming together, so yeah. you have different money paths, you have different views on money, you have different views on debt payoff. Like when I yeah. first met my husband, he was just like, oh, you know, like you pay the minimum forever. That's kind of like, that just sucks, but like that's the deal, you know, when you have that much debt. And I was like, huh, like no, like, you know, we can actually pay this. But for him, he just truly didn't believe it was possible. And I think
yeah.
sometimes you have to show someone. And I get a lot of people I work with, the couples who are like, you know, my partner's not on board, like they just don't see how, like they don't see it. And I'm like, sometimes you just have to carry that load and show them. And that's just the season until they start to see it. So, you know, when we would pay off debt, I'd be like, we paid $2,000 to debt. And he's like, oh my God, like how, you know? And then once he started, I'm like, now we paid off a credit card. He's like, oh my God, like we paid it off, you know? And so once he started to see like this is possible, it kind of brought him more, you know, on board. Cause I get the question all the time, like, how do you get your partner on board? And
yeah.
how do you get on the same page? And it's like, sometimes you have to do the work, you know, and just like push them through it, and not from a annoyance standpoint, because if you harass someone all the time, they're not going to do it, right? Just like kids, like if you're like, do this, do that, they're gonna be like, no. And you right. know, same thing when we talk about like budget meetings, like we don't do a formal budget meeting, because I tried it once and Joe yeah. was like, no, like I literally came to like our kitchen table, like sat down with like a binder at this point of
that was
stuff,
me and, for a really long time,
and he was like, nope. And so I could sit there and try to force him every week to look at this, but yeah. we would just end up having like, so we just figured out what works for us, which is yeah. I pay everything and then we do a check-in. I'll be like, yeah. this is where we're at. And he knows, you know, we've gotten it to be very conversational at this point. And so he yeah. knows if there's something coming up that he needs, new tires or whatever, he just has to give me notice so I can make sure we have like a savings account for, you know, a sinking fund for it, or I can add it to the budget. Cause mm-hmm. in the beginning he would give me like 2 days notice, like, oh, I need $400 tomorrow. And I'm like, cool. Well, I don't have that because our budget, you know, yeah. is done. So you kind of work through things. There's trial and error with like yeah. that, but you have to just kind of find your groove. Of course, it all goes back to like, you know, communication, but you really have to figure out, you know, both have to compromise on certain things. And then I think another way to keep everyone on board is make sure your budget includes things that are important to both of you. For example, like I do not care at all about camping, hunting, anything outdoors. I'm a very much a resort person is like yep. my life. But for him, he likes to camp and do all the fish and all the gross things that I don't like. But guess what? They're important to him. So they're in our budget. And it's, you know, just because it's not important to me doesn't mean it's not important. Same thing with savings. Like your savings goals, obviously you have like joint savings goals for like your family. But if there's something one of you really wants to save for, create a plan to make sure you're saving for things that are important to each of you. So like, you know, I know you guys like travel, like, okay, well, mm-hmm. make sure there's travel somewhere in there to like yep. keep you motivated, especially while paying off debt. You know, when you have six yeah. figures of debt, it's freaking exhausting, you know, and it's mentally exhausting and it's financially exhausting. So you need to have these things to like look forward to. So yeah, maybe your debt payoff's a little longer, but yeah. you're way more likely to stick to your budget and actually pay off the debt if yeah. you have yeah. a trip planned in a year or whatever else, versus like cutting everything and driving yourself freaking insane.
Right.
You're going to end up resenting each other even more. It's going to affect right. your marriage. It'll affect your kid, you know, it'll affect right. your finances in the end, but you know, you have to kind of find that middle ground with all of
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah. We definitely prioritize our travel budget.
Hey, I'm with you. Like I said, we spend which an excessive know, like, amount on sports.
Yeah. Which, so. You know, like we could be paying off things faster if we didn't do the travel that we do.
No, but I always say like when we were like in the thick of paying off debt, like I kept yeah. my season football tickets. And
yeah.
We obviously could have cut those. I mean, that would have been a quick, but it's like my fall. Like, it's all we do in the fall. Every single Saturday we go, we have a tailgate spot. We bring, both my kids have been coming since birth. Like, my youngest went at 2 months last year, and I went at 39 weeks pregnant with my first. He's been go, like, they've been go, like, it's just our life. Like, they know, even my, I mean, my almost 3-year-old, like, love, like, they're like, he's so good. I'm like, he's been doing this. This is his third season. He's been doing this since birth. Like, it's just our normal. It's our thing. And so, like, I could 100% cut that. But, like, I have no desire to. Like, you have to sometimes keep things. Not saying it always has to be, you know, that or that expensive. But you have to keep things in your budget to keep you going. Or else you're going to get burnt out. You're going to be like, this doesn't work. You're going to start having more money fights, you know, if you don't keep it, like, realistic and some kind of compromise. So
yeah do you feel like you come across a lot of people who do the my money your money, my debt your debt kind of thing? Or do you feel like as this generation, or is this generation kind of coming more together, and it's like
I see a mix. I think the biggest shift I change is that women are getting involved. And versus before, I feel like they were just like, my husband, you know, or partner handles it. I don't know. Even if they were working. And I feel like even more like stay-at-home moms are getting involved. And I always encourage even if you don't have a quote-unquote traditional job, which, like, I think raising your kids is a freaking full-time job. But even if you – that's why I don't want to say you don't have a job, because you definitely do have a job.
It's
but
actually
if
you're not, been researched, and it's the equivalent of two and a full-time jobs.
It's funny to think then, like, between, like, breastfeeding for a year, which, you know, is equivalent of, and then actually working, a traditional, like, or full-time job, and then raising kids, it's like, I have, like, 15 jobs, but it's fine. But I think even if you, you know, aren't, quote-unquote, bringing an income, you have to be involved in your finances. Like, you have to have these conversations, because your input is just as important as your partner's input, even if he is the one that is technically the only income at that time. I think your opinions are valid. You should still have a say in, like, where you're saving, you know, what you're saving for and what you're doing. I think I see that more as, like, I mean, obviously most of the people who reach out to me are women. I mean, I've occasionally gotten a few husbands, but it's always, you know, women who are like, hey, you know, I want to get this together. So I think that shift is happening. There are still some people who want to keep it separate. It just, it can work. I just think it's more complicated, in my opinion. I have, like, a spreadsheet in my one. I have, like, a course called Money and Marriage, and there's a spreadsheet in there that helps you kind of, like, if you do keep things separate, like, I always say you can do, like, a weighted average instead of saying, like, 50-50, everyone put, like, 50% in, because, like, say you make three times what your partner makes, it's not really fair to say, like, each of you put in 50%, because, like, you know, that percentage is obviously, like, very different in the dollar amount. So, you know, maybe you put in 60% to your joint bills and they put in 30%, you know, just based on income, or you can split it bill based. I think you just, if you keep things separate, you just have to be very, very clear on who's paying what, and then how you're handling joint things. I mean, kids add another layer of complexity when you keep it separate, just because you're like, who's paying for kids stuff? Are we splitting kids stuff? Like, does someone pay for kids activities? What about saving for the kids' future? So if you want to keep things separate, that's fine. I think the best option, like I said, is combined and then separate spending accounts. So you still have some stuff separate, but I mean, it can work. I think I'm seeing more combined with, like, spending money is what I personally see, like, have been seeing more, versus, like, completely separate.
Yeah.
Just because it's also, I don't know, I feel like when you're in the marriage and you're trying to do stuff together, it's just so much easier in my eyes to just, like, see it in one account, because then it just gets complicated when there's, like, four checking accounts, and then we each have our own savings, but then we have the joint savings, and then this bill goes to this account, and then you're just, like, racking your brain trying to figure out, like, where's our money? Like, I don't even know where it is half the time. So
yeah,
it's definitely combined, I'd say, is the better choice,
better route.
Yeah.
Allie, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I know that this conversation could continue, and that you have so much resources and content around these different topics of money. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram like way too much is what my phone tells me every day when it's like, you've spent like 15 hours on Instagram. You're like, oh, geez, that's terrible. So if you want to get in touch with me, share what you're working on, any goals, questions, definitely message me on Instagram because like I said, I'm way too active on there. And that's just, especially when I was nursing, like in the middle of the night, I just would like scroll.
Same.
So anyway, Instagram, financially focused. My website, I have a blog. So I have like a million blog posts. I have a whole list of free resources at my website. I have a free workbook on getting on the same page. I have a free foundations course. So pretty much whatever stage you're in, there are so many free resources for you. So definitely check them out. If you're not sure what's best, just DM me on Instagram because I'm on there at all times of the day.
Perfect. I will be linking all of those in the description of this podcast. Allie, thank you again for joining me and helping me support you, the mother.
Yeah, this is so fun. Thank you.
Thanks.